Now, New Year's resolutions are notoriously difficult to follow through with, at least for the long term, especially the ones where we're trying to do things like eat healthier, be more active. Our next guest has some advice on how to build better habits into our lives, especially when it comes to the food we eat, and maybe don't eat. Beth Olson is an associate professor and extension specialist in the UW-Madison Nutritional Sciences Department. Beth, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, a lot of people don't make New Year's resolutions anymore, but I think they get that inkling of it's a new year, I'm going to change something. Do you see that as a trend? Even if we don't call it a resolution, we want to do something on the new year?
Yeah, I think it's an occasion that brings up newness. There are others. Sometimes when summer's coming, people, or spring or summer, when the weather's getting warmer, people also say, you know, I'm going to change something in my life. But I think January 1 just has that new sense about it, that people want to do something healthy.
And I get the sense often when it comes to food and some other things, we may have this great idea, but we don't have a plan. And we think we're just going to go in and we're going to have this endless reserve of willpower, and that's how we're going to carry it through. And that seems to me, having experienced it myself, like a recipe for failure. Am I right?
Oh, yes. I think when one has a broad, indefinite plan, like, oh, I'm going to exercise more, or I'm going to eat healthy, then there isn't any accountability, because you do something wrong one day, you think, well, oh, well, you know, it wasn't too bad. So what we would suggest is that people set smaller goals and set them with a timeline. So maybe you want to say, you know, in January, I'm going to walk at my lunch period or my lunch break 2 times a week for the month of January. So that gives you a timeline, a very definite activity, and it also then gives you some success when you achieve it.
And part of the problem there is we might say, I want to walk more, but that doesn't give us a concrete way. One of the big steps here is not just what do I want to do, but how do I integrate it into my life, my work day, or whatever part of my day it is.
Oh, exactly. You want to pick something that works for you. So, you know, if you're a very social person and maybe you're not a morning person, saying, well, I'm going to get up every morning at 5 a.m. and go down in the basement and walk on my treadmill isn't probably a good plan. It doesn't fit with your life. It doesn't fit with what you like. So choose something that's a little more achievable for you, fits in with your life. Maybe it's something you like to do already, you just would like to do more, or maybe you do want to try something new, something you've always wanted to do and you've never tried before.
Talking to Beth Olson from the UW-Madison Nutritional Sciences Department, trying to set up some good habits in the new year. Well, let's take food and focus in on that a little bit. What kind of things can we do to build a healthier food habit into our lives?
Well, I think some of the same things apply with a healthy food habit. So again, not just saying, well, I'm going to eat better or I'm going to eat more healthy, because that isn't measurable to you. It doesn't really have any accountability. So perhaps you want to look at what you're doing now and think of what you want to change, and then pick one thing to work on, maybe, again, month of January or for the week. So you might say, for my afternoon snack, instead of going down to the vending machine in my building, I'm going to bring from home a piece of fruit. And I'm going to do that every day this week or 2 days a week, or set some goal you think is realistic for you. And then when you achieve some success, move on to the next thing. What's the next thing you'd like to improve?
Having talked to people on shows about nutrition before, and having worked on a health show, Zorba Pastor on Your Health Some, I think a lot of people get really focused on, is this particular food good or bad for me? Eggs, are they good or bad for me? What are some of the things, though, that we know 100% are low-hanging fruit that if we make this habit change, we're going to be healthier in the long run?
Yeah, well, you set that one up well, because I would say it's probably fruits and vegetables. And some of us eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, but we don't eat a very wide variety. So one thing you might try is, you know, I'm going to pick a couple of new fruits, or I'm going to pick a couple of new vegetables and try them this week. And, you know, if you don't like them, okay, pick another couple next week and try them. But I think the widest variety, often we look at that in color in your vegetables, would be a great thing to do. And the second thing, from my just training over many years in the nutrition world, that I think is a wonderful marker of things that would help in your diet, is fiber. So we get really caught up in, you know, are blueberries good because they have some antioxidant in them? Is this thing good? I think if you pick a lot of foods that are high in fiber, you're going to have a pretty good diet.
Give us a little quick list of easy to add to our diet things that will bring that fiber.
So fruits and vegetables, of course, that's a big one. Another one, though, is whole grains. So if you're a big white bread, white roll eater, maybe try eating a whole wheat bread, or whole grains such as rice. Instead of white rice, try some brown rice. So all of the grains that you can make whole really will help increase your fiber.
And for people out there who complain, oh, I see news stories that say this is good one day, this is bad the next day, we're never going to see a study that says fruits and vegetables, bad for you, skip them.
I've never seen one.
So that's good low-hanging fruit. How about stuff, now you're looking on the positive side, good things to add. How about the stuff on the negative side of our nutrition ledger? What is some of the low-hanging fruit, or non-fruit, I guess, in this case, that you see people eating, drinking that would be good first steps to get rid of?
Of course, one would be sugar-sweetened beverages. So sodas, iced teas with a lot of sugar in them. That's a pretty easy way to remove calories without hurting your nutrients because they don't have many nutrients. The other thing would be to look at probably how you're snacking. So a lot of times we like chips or crackers, and nothing wrong with that on occasion. But looking at, okay, are there some things missing in my diet I could put in via my snacks? So maybe some seeds or lentils, not lentils, sorry about that, nuts, something a little more, you know, still tasty, but a little more nutritious than, say, chips.
And it seems like we want to look at the role that snack plays in our life, what it's doing in a particular time of day, what we're doing. How do we get the right mental and emotional states to be ready to give up that yummy, I don't know, cookie that the radio host goes and gets every afternoon and replace it with that healthier stuff?
Yes, I think sometimes people don't think about the role that food plays in our social life and our emotional life. So some things are comfort foods. Sometimes, you know, we watch TV, so we like to munch on popcorn. So I don't think we need to give all those things up. We just have to look at them and think, how much of it am I doing? Can I maybe not add as much butter to my popcorn? Because popcorn actually is a great source of fiber. Or maybe my cookie can be a little bit smaller. Or maybe I can alternate my cookie with a granola bar that's a little more healthy. And I would say if there's a time that you really want to indulge, we just had the holidays and there was desserts and Christmas cookies and things like that. Don't beat yourself up over it. Go ahead and have a little and enjoy it and then move on the next day to something else.
We're talking to Associate Professor Beth Olson from the UW-Madison Nutritional Sciences Department about building better food habits in the new year or anytime. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you made a health-related resolution for 2020? Or even if you don't call it a resolution, are you trying to improve some health habit, whether it's food or exercise or something else along those lines? Have you broken one yet here on January 2nd? No judgment. Do you have a plan for sticking to your plan? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Nutritional Sciences Professor Beth Olson about keeping those resolutions we set for ourselves to be healthier in the new year, how to build better habits when it comes to food, exercise, and more. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you successfully improved a health habit, adding healthier food to your diet, maybe taking some bad stuff out, getting regular exercise that you didn't used to, or other improvements? How'd you do it? What worked for you? Were there failures along the way that you learned from? Do you have questions for our guest about making and keeping healthier resolutions, about building better, healthier eating and other health habits? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now, Beth, I hear with a lot of negative health behaviors, whether it's smoking, problem drinking, addiction, or overeating, eating bad stuff. Sometimes it's a symptom of things like stress, anxiety, depression. How can we spot that and realize what that negative health behavior is kind of coming from and deal with that fundamental problem?
Yeah, it might help to do something like keeping a food journal. So you write down what you eat and what you're doing at the time. And then in retrospect, you can look back and go, oh, that was right after this conversation, or that was every time I visit, you know, my some member of my family where I feel stressed, or it's after work. And then look at, okay, is there something else that I could replace that with? Can I take a walk? Can I have a big glass of water and take some deep breaths instead of reaching for something else?
And that makes a lot of sense because it seems to be, again, that if my approach is going to be don't do the bad thing at this stressful time, that's really hard to pull off without that replacement.
Yes, it's always easier, I think, to replace a bad habit with a healthy habit than it is to just get rid of the habit and then be feeling lost of how to cope.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Justin with us in Black Creek. Justin, hi.
Hi there. I will be following the ketogenic diet. I will continue it as I've been doing it since June 2018. And it reversed my diabetes and I lost some weight on it. And I'm feeling 100% better. So I'll be sticking to that diet.
And Justin, at the outset, was it hard for you to stick to it, at the beginning?
At the beginning, when I was not aware of the alternatives, it was difficult. But once I found out different recipes and stuff, how to make things at my home, it was a lot easier, and it has been since.
Justin, thanks a lot for that call. And whether is somebody doing a keto diet or a particular diet, something that struck me there was once he found out some recipes, once he found some ways to work within the system instead of just trying hard.
Yeah, and I think when people stumble on something they really want to achieve, instead of just saying, well, I can't do it, I'm going to give up, or I'm not a good person because I didn't have the willpower, they should just get back up and say, okay, why did that happen? Like he's saying, I didn't like the food. Okay, then perhaps that's not the diet for you or the eating pattern for you. Perhaps you need a different one or you need to get recipes. Or for anything, again, maybe the treadmill isn't for you and walking outside is for you. So if you stumble, I would say don't give up. I saw a study in which they estimated how long it took someone to change a habit, and the range was 18 to 254 days. So you think, how often do you say I'm going to do something and you give up long before even 18 days, much less 254? So depending on a person in the habit, it might take a little while of trying and trying again.
Thanks, Justin, for that call at 800-642-1234. Yeah, when I've talked to some smoking cessation experts at UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, for example, they say reframe things. You didn't fail that first quitting attempt. You took your first step toward quitting, and it might be the third or seventh or 12th step that is actually the successful one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you have to give yourself credit for trying. You've gotten up the willpower to say, I really want to make this change. I'm going to try it. And I'll keep trying until I get the result that I want.
Thanks, Justin, again, for that call. So what are some achievable New Year's resolutions? We've touched on this a little bit. What are some things you might recommend to people who have sort of like a vague sense, like I could do better, but don't really have a concrete plan on what that could be?
Yeah, so I'd pick something very simple to start if you're not doing much in an area which you want to improve. I think a lot of people underestimate the power of walking. You don't have to join and pay for a gym and go to the gym and run on the treadmill and run till you drip sweat. You can go to the mall here in Wisconsin when it's cold and we can't always walk outside. You can go to the mall and just walk up and down the mall, see how many times you can do it before you're fatigued, and the next day see if you can go a little bit longer. So I think walking, and there's a lot of opportunities in terms of, not taking elevators and parking your car far away from your work, that kind of thing. And then in terms of eating, I think, as we said before, maybe just picking a few items that you would like to include in your diet and starting with those and not worrying about cutting a whole bunch of things out and adding a whole bunch of things and throwing everything up in the air on, which really just can make it hard.
Now, one thing that just anecdotally from callers over the years I've heard people get discouraged by is we think the goal of eating better and exercising is weight loss. And we do a good thing, but we don't see it on the scale. And people are like, well, it's not working. What do you say to them?
Well, weight loss shouldn't always be our goal. Certainly, there's times when people feel like they would like to lose some weight, and perhaps a doctor has told them they need to. But we're really interested in other measures of our health, things like our blood pressure and our blood lipids and how well we control our blood glucose. One of the callers mentioned, or the caller mentioned, dealing with diabetes.
Right.
So those are the things that are really associated with having a long, healthy life. And, weight loss can contribute if someone is overweight. But even for people who are not overweight, it's important to be active and eat healthy so that all these other measures of health are are as good as they can be.
So even if the number on the scale isn't going down, if we're more active, if we're eating a little bit better, it is paying dividends short and especially long term?
Yes. And I think people will feel it. They'll feel more energetic. They'll feel more healthy. And I think it's also good for our mind. When we know that we're doing well for ourselves, then we also, I think, are feel less stressed and feel more happy with ourselves.
Let's talk about, this is maybe veering into psychology outside of nutrition, but, and you've touched on this a little bit, guilt and how to avoid avoid being guided by guilt here.
Yes, and that's just an unfortunate history we've had in nutrition where people have felt like there's good foods and bad foods, and if I eat the bad foods, I feel guilty. And so we really want to move away from that. We want to say, you know, indulge in what you love a little bit and look at more options and find things that are healthy that you do enjoy. And then enjoy your food. Sit down at the table, chew well, enjoy your food, eat with others, turn the TV off, and really enjoy what you're eating and don't feel guilty.
Well, I'm feeling a little guilty because of my lunches sitting at my desk at work. Is that something that we should maybe try to veer away from?
I do that too. So we should. And I think, for instance, in our family, we're doing better in terms of eating together at dinner time. So that's a time where we can sit together and talk and enjoy our food and enjoy each other's company.
Well, Beth, thanks again for the New Year's inspiration.
Thank you.
That's Beth Olson, Associate Professor and Extension Specialist in the UW-Madison Nutritional Sciences Department. We talked to her today about strategies for building healthier habits, especially eating habits in the new year. Still time for you to share your experiences, maybe your successes, over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.